If you have been following this series, you find yourself now at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, it's an odd place to begin, but we ran out of time. That's as far as we got on the last broadcast. To review briefly, I would like to go back, please, to verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Verses 12 through 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, as I mentioned on the last broadcast, we had gotten down through verse 15, but as is customary for a Monday, let's spend a little bit of time in review. You will note, please, that Paul specifically says that the things that he teaches, the things that he preaches, are not couched in semantics, are not couched in philosophical words, terminology, phraseology, but rather the things that he speaks are the things which the Holy Spirit has given him to speak. And this puts it in a dynamic, it puts it in a realm that, for the unconverted, is unreachable. Now, this sounds like a certain amount of, elitism, a certain amount of mysticism. However, he goes on to say something here in verse 14 that I think that helps to clarify it. It doesn't necessarily make it any more palatable to those who are not born again. But you will notice he sums up the problem like this. But the natural man, that is, the man in his natural state, as unconverted, as a reprobate, as hostile to God, but the natural man receiveth not, he does not accept, he cannot, he does not take them in, it receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, that which originates with God, the natural man is unable to lay hold of, does not lay claim to, cannot appreciate, does not understand. It seems like just so much foolishness. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Here's the crux of the matter. This is the sticking point for the natural man. He cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. From what you see in the rest of Scripture, you understand that man in his natural estate is not only without Christ, without fellowship with God, but in that condition is also spiritually dead. Now, if we consider the idea of being dead, you can think of it in a variety of ways, and I think most of them will come into helping you to understand the concept. If a car is dead, what do you mean? We mean it doesn't run. Is it because the engine is missing? Well, no, not necessarily. The engine's not running. It could, I suppose, be that the car doesn't have an engine. Okay. But you check under the hood and you find that the car does have an engine. But it still won't run. Well, does it have fuel? Well, no. Well, then, of course, it's not going to run. You say, well, no, this car has fuel in the tank. Okay. But it won't run? No, it won't run. Well, how long will it run? Well, you can't start it. Why not? Does it turn over and just doesn't catch? No, it doesn't even turn over. Well, if you're going to troubleshoot the problem, you'll probably check the battery. Is the battery there? Is the battery dead? Well, there's that term dead again. The car is dead. The battery is dead. Well, what if the battery's not even there? You see, a man who is spiritually dead has, like the car, no battery. It can't fire. It's not because he is stupid. It's not because he's retarded. It's not because there's something wrong with him per se, but there is something missing. If you are going to discern, if you're going to appreciate, if you're going to lay hold of spiritual truth, you need the means whereby to get a hold of it. Your body, for instance, requires for its maintenance, for its functioning properly, a certain amount of food. It requires a certain amount of oxygen, water. There are certain things that the body requires. But let's say here's a man who is situated right in the middle of a huge pantry, or maybe in the kitchen of a great restaurant. Food all around him. But he has no stomach. You say, well, the man can't live. But suppose for a moment we're talking about this, we're trying to illustrate this natural man. Here is a man with great need. He's surrounded by great resources, and yet he can't assimilate it. It doesn't work. Let's say he has a stomach. Let's say he has all of his digestive tract, but he has no mouth. How can he get it in there? He has everything he needs if he could just get it in, but he can't get it in. Suppose, and there are certain physical problems, certain illnesses, problems that are caused because the body lacks the ability to assimilate, say, a particular mineral. What's wrong with the mineral? Nothing. What's wrong with him? Well, nothing's really wrong with him except the fact that he can't take this iron or calcium or phosphorus or potassium or any other number of vitamins. The body just simply passes it through, doesn't touch it, doesn't assimilate it, doesn't receive any of it. You say, well, there's a problem here. And most of the time, there's something requiring surgery or some medical intervention. And once that's done, then he's all right. He's going to make it. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. A man just simply does not have the ability to assimilate spiritual truth. He's not stupid. He just doesn't have the equipment to do it. Now, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, as we talked about this on the last broadcast, he that is spiritual, we're talking about one who is not only indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but one that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, that being the case, you will notice it says, he that is spiritually controlled by the Holy Spirit, one who is under the influence and control and domination by the Spirit of God, judgeth all things. And you'll notice the word judge, a verb form, is ended, has as a suffix eth, judgeth. It is the present perfect or the present progressive tense here. Once the judging starts, it does not stop. Now, for some, there will be a problem here because they don't understand this term, judge. As I've pointed out in the past, there are, I think, 5 different words in the Greek language, all of which have a specific meaning. Unfortunately, all are translated into the English as the word judge. And you and I tend to have a negative idea, a negative feeling about this word judge, especially about the idea of judging other people. But this word judge does not mean judge in the sense that a judge passes sentence on a criminal. But rather, this word judge comes from a Greek word that means to investigate, to analyze, to evaluate, to test, as a jury analyzes and weighs the evidence, as a jury is exposed to all of the evidence in the case, and they evaluate it, they put it to the test, they investigate, they analyze the evidence. Then they come to a conclusion whether the person in question is, whether the defendant is guilty or innocent. Now, they have not passed judgment in the sense of, okay, he's guilty of shoplifting, so he's going to make restitution, he's going to do that. That's the purview of the judge. Here's a man who's been guilty of murder. The jury does not sentence him to death. The jury, just simply on the basis of the evidence, comes to a conclusion based on the evidence of whether or not he's guilty or not. It's up to the judge to assign a sentence, okay, to execute sentence or to pass judgment in that sense. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. That is, he investigates everything. He analyzes everything. He evaluates everything. He puts everything to the test, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, this word judge this is a different word. It looks pretty much the same in English, but it comes from a different Greek word. No man can pass sentence on him. Now, that does not mean that he should not be investigated, analyzed, tested, evaluated. Not at all. Anybody with a brain who sees what the Bible says here, I invite you, investigate, analyze what I'm saying. Is it right? Is it proper? Is it biblical? I'm not asking, is it politically correct? Because I'll admit, quite frankly, most of what I say is not politically correct by today's standards. But it is what the Bible says. Now, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. How is this possible? What do you mean? Well, anybody ought to be investigated. For instance, if you are a spirit-filled individual and you are listening to this broadcast, you are automatically evaluating what you're hearing. Now, whether or not you chose deliberately to start out to do that or not, you still have the Holy Spirit inside and indwelling you is saying, okay, comparing spiritual with spiritual, what this guy is saying, it's what the Bible says, or it's not. Now, what does the Bible say? You see, this kind of throws the cat back in your lap. What are you going to do with it? But at the same time, the Holy Spirit, who infills, indwells and controls the surrendered Christian, knows full well whether or not what I'm saying is right. And if you love the Lord and if you love His Word, then you recognize, based on not only your own predisposition to love the Word of God and respond on that basis, there is also then the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as He would reinforce that understanding in your mind. Yes, this is right. Now, this, when it says this, he that is spiritual judges all things, that means not just a sermon, not just a man. It also applies to organizations. Some of you are members or participants of organizations that ought to be investigated, ought to be analyzed. You ought to do it. Now, I'm not talking about criminal investigation. I'm talking about you as an individual evaluating the organizations that you're in. For instance, the church you attend, is it a good Bible-preaching church? Is it one that stands without apology for the old-time religion? Or is it one of these that's dipped the colors and has rolled belly up to what is politically correct and what the apostasy of the day expects, the idea that, well, we're all the children of God and we're all going to this. Is that the way it is or not? What's the Bible say? You set that as the standard and you evaluate what they're saying in light of the Word of God. Now, you'll depend on the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and guidance as you pursue that, but you, if you are spiritual, must analyze and test. Now, I intended just to review here just a little bit, but I think we're going to take the rest, next few seconds here at least, and continue with this review. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Because he's spirit-controlled. If he's spirit-controlled, is he doing right? Well, of course he is. Otherwise, he's not spirit-controlled. I'd like for you to pursue this on your own time. Think about it, consider it, and see. Is this what the Bible says?